Left off from yesterday, trying to understand what is the chiyuv and what is not the chiyuv in terms of different zeches that we're making on Shabbos vis-a-vis the Ma'an, how much does that spill over to Yom Tov? So we saw it seems to be a little bit of a contradiction in halacha. On the one hand, we find that most of the Rishon wrote the opinion that you have to have lecha mishra on Yom Tov. That's how we got into the sugya in the first place. Because the Gemara is discussing, according to most, the lecha mishra on Pesach. Whether or not Lech HaMishnah and Pesach is identical to Lech HaMishnah and Yom Tov is a different story, but the basic chiyuv is there. And on the other hand, the Aminig is following the view of the Rosh against the Rambam, but there is no requirement of having Suda Shlishis on Yom Tov. So those two halachas seem to contradict one another. If we're assuming, like those by Mari Chazal, that the Mon fell on Yom Tov, and therefore there was no need to have to commemorate any nisim of the special month of Yom Tov, so that would explain why we don't bother having a shlishis on Yom Tov. That wouldn't explain why we are not to have lechemishis. Those two halachas seem to be a little bit of a contradiction to one another. So I'm not sure what the answer to that question is, but those two halachas seem to be to some degree at odds with one another. We have to take a step back and ask ourselves, really, within the practice that we follow, that we're familiar with the view of the Rosh. That we don't eat shalshudis on Yom Tov. We don't eat shalshudis on Yom Tov. We're not so concerned with the myth of the month, so to speak, on Yom Tov vis-a-vis Suda Shlishis. So why do we eat the first two sudas? Where does that come from exactly? What is the mechayev to eat two sudas on Yom Tov? So Bishlam on Shabbos, when we say we have to commemorate the days of the month, so that I understand. So you have to have Suda for a night, Suda Shabbos, Shabbos, later in the afternoon, I understand the Gibel Sudas of Shabbos. But the minute that you tell me that there's no obligation of a third suit on Yom Tov, so what you're basically saying is that the mod is not necessary to replica on Yom Tov. So what was the mechayev? What was the trigger to have the first suit? Why do we have the first suit the Friday night, Yom Tov? Why do we have the second suit Yom Tov afternoon? What is the nature of the base suit this on Yom Tov? So here there is a rush. We skip down the 11th of the Maamar Kamos. We're going to come back to this rush a little bit later in terms of other aspects of the rush. Right now, I just want to focus on one small part of the rush. So we're going to pick up, it's about six lines from the bottom of the rush, and 11th in the Rambam covers. Tukach niru Rabbein Yehuda, dechayiv adam lecho pas b'yantif. Why is a person obligated to eat bread on yantif? And let's not forget, this is the rush speaking. So we know that the Rosh is not talking the language of Shal Shudas. The Tor already told us yesterday that he never saw his father, the Rosh, eating Shal Shudas on Yom Tov. But why are we eating bread at all on Yom Tov? Mishum Simcha, says the Rosh, it's an obligation of Simcha v'samach b'chagecha. Now, how in the world do you know that Simcha translates to mean anything to do with bread? So the Rosh continues, Mishum Chalkeyu Chetzel Achila v'ikra Achila hu lechem. So the Rosh has his eyes on a Gemara in Maseches Pesachim, where the Gemara comments upon how to fulfill two Pesukim on Yom Tov that seem to contradict one another. On the one hand, the Torah says on Yom Tov, Atzeres LaHashem Elokecha, and the other hand, the Torah says, Atzeres Tiyalochem. So in one place, the Torah is emphasizing celebrating Yom Tov in a spiritual way, in a ruchniistic way, in a Torahitic way, Torah, Tefillah, etc. That's Atzeres LaHashem Elokecha. And the other pasuk speaks about Atzeres Tiyalochem. So tia lachem means achila ushtia, means eating, enjoying physically in this world, lachem. So how do you resolve those two psukim? So Mark wants to machlek us at tenoim. So Rabbi Eliezer was of the opinion that the Torah is giving us a choice. Either you can perform a teres l'shem l'kecha, you want to spend the whole day up there sitting and learning and davening, say tilim, or if you want to spend the entire day at teres tia lachem, just sitting and enjoying, eating and drinking, spending time with Yom. That's also okay. Either one is a valid model for Yom, according to the view of Rabbi Eliezer. Just parenthetically, the Gemara Beitza tells us that even though Rabbi Eliezer holds that in theory either model is correct, Rabbi Eliezer opted for the Atzeres L'Hashem Elokecha model. He looked down on those who were taking the other model. The Gemara tells a fascinating story that once on a Yom Tov morning, Rabbi Eliezer was giving shiur, and Davi was over, he was giving shiur, he started to say shiur, he talked for an hour, And then he noticed some of the Talmidim started to sneak out. And then he kept on going another hour, and a few of the Talmidim, more Talmidim started to go. It was in the days of Chazal, the Yeshiva for 5, 6, 7, 8 hours at a time. Today, go try to pull that off in the school, the Beis Medrash today. The Bechor of Asim used to give Shiva for 5 hours every day. That was a minute. In Baruch Hashem, it was like a high school level boys. So every day was 5 hours. So here, Rabbi Eliezer was giving Shiva on Yom Tov. It was 9 o'clock in the morning, 10 o'clock in the morning, 11 o'clock in the morning, 12 o'clock. And every few minutes, he saw a few more Talmidim, slip away. At the very end, when he finally finished the shiur, so he turned to the Talmidim who stayed behind, and he said to them, he said, even though the other Talmidim were going home to eat the Yom Tov meal, and even I'm the one who sanctioned that, their choice of which way of Yom Tov to go was a very temporary choice. They wanted the meat and the wine. You guys stayed around for the rest of the shiur, so atem zeichem b'chai olam haba. So even though Rabbi Eliezer held that in theory either option was good, it didn't take much to figure out which one Rabbi Eliezer preferred. But Rabbi Yeshua says the whole thing is not true. Rabbi Yeshua says you don't have an option what to do on Yom Tov. Rather, according to Rabbi Yeshua, you have to do a little bit of both. Okay, every Yom Tov has to be a little bit, part of the day being dedicated to learning, to davening, etc. And the other half of the day has to be both of Yaim, enjoying spending time with the family, etc. It's interesting that when Rabbi Yeshua maps out what you're supposed to do in Yom Tov, the Rambam elaborates upon when the eating and the drinking, etc. Nobody says taking a nap. That wasn't on for us. That's like the greatest discipline was Yom Tov. That wasn't part of the cheshbon. So where that fits into the hours, I can't tell you. So Rabbi Yeshua says you have to have chetzel lechem and chetzel Hashem. So we pass like Rabbi Yeshua. So what do the words mean? What are you supposed to do? So the Gemara says, Achila Ushtia. So says the Rabbi Yehuda, says the Rosh, Achila. Oh, most made Achila. Everybody knows what Achila is. Achila means bread. So other Rishon say, well, it doesn't. Achila means to eat. Whatever you want to eat. So the Rabbi Yehuda and the Rosh make this equation and say, if Rabbi Yeshua says on the Pasuk at Tzeres Tiyalachem, that's Achila. And we know that Stam Achila always means a meal, means bread. So when Meili Mechuyev on Yom Tov to eat bread, why you have to wash a bench on Yom Tov to fulfill the mitzvah of Chatzi Lachem? Who said anything about Simcha? So clearly the Rabbi Yehuda and the Rosh are learning that the dip of Chatzi Lachem, Chatzi Lachem is not a separate independent mitzvah. There's a mitzvah Simcha Yom Tov. We're not sure what does that mean. How do you perform? What are the mechanics of Simcha Yom Tov? So Rabbi Eliezer said, you can pick either one. Either you can sit and learn all day, that can make you happy. Or you can eat and drink all day, that can make you happy. And Rabbi Yeshua says, the psukim of Lachem and Lashem qualify how to perform Simchas Yom Tov, but it's heart and soul, the real mitzvah that you're doing when you're eating on Yom Tov, when you're learning on Yom Tov, is the mitzvah of Samach Mechayecha. So therefore, the Rosh, Rabbi Yehuda say, that if you want to know ultimately for us, what's triggering the obligation to eat on Yom Tov, to have a meal on Yom Tov, to have bread on Yom Tov, it's the mitzvah of Mesabach B'chayecha. Now you see a big chiddush from this Rosh, because the Rosh is telling us you have to do that both at night and in the daytime. So here you see that whatever's called the Maisa Simcha, whatever you think Maisa Simcha means, it's not enough to do one Maisa Simcha for the entire 24 hours. The day is one unit and the night is a different unit. So whatever constitutes a Maisa Simcha, whether it be a Achila Shtiyah, whatever you think it is, it has to be done both Beim Bayom, Beim Alayla. Now we can extrapolate from that for us, because the simple reading of the Gemara is that in order to fulfill Simchas Yom Tov, you have to have yayin also. You have to drink wine. You have to have a little bit of wine on Yom Tov. So what does that mean, a little bit of wine on Yom Tov? That means a little bit of wine once every 24 hours. Or does that mean a little bit of wine at night, a little bit of wine in the daytime? So the Bechaz Chinuch is not sure. He doesn't know. He says, we don't know what the shir, it doesn't say Beferish and Chazal, what the shir of Simcha is. How often do you have to partake in a Maisa Simcha on the days of Yom Tov? So according to this Rabbi Yehuda, this Rosh, you see clearly, and the Rosh is not talking about wine. The Rosh is not talking about meat. The Rosh is talking about bread. But that which the Rosh is saying, that the mechayev of eating sudas on Yom Tov is a mechayev of simcha, so it's clear that's going to apply in Beim Yom
Melayla. Does not apply women. Women aren't going to be chayev in simcha the same.
Oh, in Ochinam. So we're going to see as we go on, there are some who say that maybe in Ochinam, women are not going to be chayev in sudas Yom Tov. We've got a while to go to come back, circle back to that question. So the Gemara says in Pesachim that in theory, if you take that option of Kulo Lashem, then you're allowed to fast on Yom Tov. That's what it sounds like. The Gemara says that only certain Yom Tov, even Rebbe Lezer says you can't fast. Like Shavuos, like it's different Cheshbonos. Purim says you can't fast, but a regular Yom Tov, Rebbe Lezer apparently holds that you're allowed to fast. The Balamor says that the iser of fasting on Yontif is usually if you're fasting like b'derech aveilus, you're fasting b'derech, you know, b'derech in a sad kind of fasting. But if a person is fasting because he's sitting and learning Yom Ba'ala, so according to Rebbe, that's not a problem. We happen to pass it, that's not acceptable because we pass it, it has to be chatzi lachem as well. So we're mechayv and mitzvah achila. But in the world of Rebbe Elazar, there's no absolute mechayv and mitzvah achila on Yontif, so there would be nothing per se also about fasting.
What about Rosh Hashanah?
So Rosh Hashanah is a whole different story. Rosh Hashanah, depending on what you think there's mitzvah simcha in Rosh Hashanah, that's a big much like this. The Rosh in Rosh Hashanah quotes two different ischos at tefillah in Rosh Hashanah. Do you say chag was madam asasa in Rosh Hashanah? So I mean, as we know, we say batitla Hashem lekenu as yom hazikar. Is that we leave out the phrase madam simcha chag was madam asasa. The Rosh quotes an alternate gears that they did. That's the whole tilt about is there really a mitzvah simcha in Rosh Hashanah? But a chopan according to this Rosh, the driving force of having a sukkah yotiv is the mitzvah of simcha.
Shabbos and Yom Tov, so the chiluk only at certain things. So why would the chiluk be on a chiluk that you would have to have on Shabbos and Yom Tov?
When the Mishnah says Eibin Shabbos and Yom Tov, the Mishnah was probably speaking about in terms of Yisurim, things that activities that are prohibited on Shabbos are generally prohibited on Yom Tov, except for Echol Nefesh. But the may be chiyuvim that exist on Shabbos or exist on Yom Tov. So the Mishnah is not addressing that issue in terms of positive actions. So it comes out according to the Rosh, or maybe it was a tremendous chiddush, because if you're going to tell me that the chiyuv of eating bread is a function of simcha, so why does that only apply in Yom Tov? What about Chol HaMoed? Chol HaMoed is also a mitzvah simcha. The Torah says that v'samachta b'chagecha, the Mishnah says explicitly in Masechet Sukkah that ha'alo v'asimcha shmoina, that all 8 days of Sukkah, including Shmini Atzeres, you have to say hallel and you have to have simcha. So if you're going to put two and two together and tell me that the mechayev of eating bread is based on simchas yontif, then the chora, that should apply to Chol HaMoed. And we, most poskim don't find that. Most Rishonim don't say that. There is an opinion of Rishonim that says it is a chiyuv gomor to eat bread on Chol HaMoed. We usually don't assume that way. So that would be a big chiddush, according to Rebbe Yehuda Rosh, to if you just continue where left off in terms of yontif, it should spill over to Chol HaMoed as well. But the question is this really true? Is this really the mechayev of eating bread altogether on Yom Tov? So again, according to the Rambam, we don't have to look very far to find why there's a chayev to eat bread on Yom Tov. It's the same as Shabbos. Whatever the man, Gibel Sudas, Hayom HaYom, whatever the mocha for Gibel Sudas and Shabbos is identical for Yom Tov. But according to the Rosh, that there is no chayev of Gibel Sudas. So what is the mechayev of the two Sudas? So the Chiddush Rebbe Yehuda is it's al simcha, and the chiddush gadol, you have to have a ma'aseh simcha be'em yom be'em alayla. So could there be some other reason, some other trigger of the chiyav of a bey sudas on yantiv? So Rabbi Kiveger in a tshuva, I don't know if they put another comment, so Kiveger in a tshuva, so he suggests that maybe the mokor is actually atzeres tiyalachem, almost like the Ben Yehuda the Rosh said, a little bit of a different twist. It's not clear whether the chiyav of chatzi lachem and chatzi lachem is the fulfillment of Simchas Yontif. Rabbi Kiveger suggests that maybe Simchas Yontif l'chud and chatzi lachem and chatzi lachem l'chud. Simchas Yontif is a pasuk in Chumash v'samach b'chagecha. How do you do that? So we know how you do that. Gemara says b'zman shebeis hamikdash kayam. So you do that with eating b'sash shalom. You come to the beis hamikdash and bring special kabbalas and partake of the meat. B'zman hazeh. So the men you give wine, and the women you buy nice clothing, and the kids you buy candies. The Gemara says to Pesachim, what do you do? How do you celebrate the Yom Tov? Nowhere does the Gemara say anywhere in that statement about Simchas Yom Tov, any about eating bread. It doesn't say you have to have a hot dog and a bun. It says you have to have a hot dog, you have to have a hamburger, you have to have a piece of meat. It doesn't, according to the Rambam. You have to have a cup of wine. It doesn't say a word about the lechem. So says Rabbi Kiveger, it could be that the mitzvah of Atzeres Tiyah Lochem is a different mitzvah. It could be it's a mitzvah of oneg, not a mitzvah of simcha. Now we know that the pasuk in the Navi Yishayahu says the karas of the Shabbos oneg v'gashem chubud. There's the mitzvah of oneg on Shabbos to enjoy Shabbos. That's not per se through the Shabbos. It's elamoshal. The Gemara says that on Shabbos you should have some special food, some special dish. So a person eats a piece of challah and adventures. So did he fulfill Suda's Shabbos? Yeah. Did he really fulfill Einik Shabbos properly? Not really. Onik Shabbos means to enjoy, to pleasure, to have a delight. So you're supposed to have your gefilte fish, you're supposed to have your chicken, you're supposed to have your children, you're supposed to have your nice dessert, whatever foods make you happy. So that's what you're supposed to have on Shabbos. That's the mitzvah of Onik Shabbos. So says Mikveger, It could be that the mitzvah of atzeres tiyalochem, that you're supposed to have achila on yontif, is not really a function of simchas yontif. Simchas yontif l'chud and atzeres slash oner yontif l'chud. So it could be that the mechayev of having sudas on yontif is subsumed under the category of oner yontif rather than the mitzvah of simchas yontif. Now, it's a little bit of semantics, not really, because there may be differences lahalach who's chayv and what. So we made reference to the fact that women may or may not be chayavos in Simchas Yontif. So we're going to have to, when we come back to the end of the sugya, we have to circle back to this Ruby Kivega. But on Kopanim, we have two approaches now as to what pasuk we're pitting on this sugya. Everybody agrees you have to eat the sugya on Yontif. No one's arguing that, at least not yet. The Rosh is claiming you don't have to have the third meal. So once the Rosh says you don't have to have the third meal, the Rosh is separating Yontif from Shabbos. Once you separate Yom Tov, we're not sure what's triggering the chiyuv of meals on Yom Tov. So either you go down the route of Simchas Yom Tov, or you go down the route of owning Yom Tov. In the end of this tshuva, Kivega throws out a third possibility. He says that maybe the reason why you have to eat bread on Yom Tov is for a different reason. Maybe it's the bits of covenant Yom Tov. In that same pasuk in Yishayo, the Karas of the Shabbos owning the Kedosh Hashem Mechuban, you have to be mechabed as a Shabbos. Maybe you have to be mechabed as a Shabbos, and you have to mechabed as a Yom Tov as well. We'll have to see why that should be so. So argues with Kivega that maybe the mitzvah of eating sudas is more in sync with the mitzvah of covet than it is with the mitzvah of oneg. So that Rabbi Kivega is not very, very difficult to understand, because we usually assume that there's a big difference between covet Shabbos and oneg Shabbos. The Rambam seems to bear this out in Hilchos Shabbos. When the Rambam describes all the halachas of Onik Shabbos, he describes all the things that you're doing on Shabbos proper. The Rambam describes the enjoying, eating the chulin, and you're taking a nap, whatever. The Rambam doesn't say all the things that you enjoy on Shabbos proper. So the Rambam puts them all on the heading of Onik. When the Rambam speaks about Kovin, so the Rambam speaks about all the activities you do before Shabbos. When you get dressed before Shabbos and you clean the house for Shabbos, put the food up to cook, you go Shabbos. Anything you do to prepare for Shabbos, that's the mitzvah of kavod. So it's pretty clear from the Rambam that the two different aspects. The Vilna Gaon points out that kavod means before and owning means on. That's why the Brisker Rav has a comment that if you look carefully in the Rambam quotes the mitzvah of lighting Shabbos candles in two places. The Rambam quotes it in the context of owning Shabbos, and the Rambam quotes it in the context of kavod Shabbos. Why is that? So the Mishnah Rav explains, because Shabbos candles is a little bit of both. Because you do it from before Shabbos, obviously, you can't light on Shabbos. But the real Hanah, you don't really enjoy it when you light it. And the real Tovelis is later when you come home and it's dark and you enjoy the light. So lighting Shabbos candles has a dual aspect to it. It's both covered and on it. So this Rabbi Kivega is very difficult. Kivega says, I'll tell you why you have to eat a Suda Yantif. I'll tell you why. Because otherwise, you're not going to fulfill covered Yantif. Covered Yontif means to clean the house before Yontif. Covered Yontif doesn't mean to have your bread on Yontif. So no one's exactly sure what Rabbi Kivega meant with that line. But whatever the answer to the question is, there is an answer, there is a chiyuv, there is a trigger, there is some real reason why we are eating sudas on Yontif, albeit only two, not three. So again, according to the Rambam, the chiyuv sudas Yontif doesn't require a whole shiur. Whatever the Chiyuv and Shabbos is, spills over to Yom Tov, three Sudas. According to the Rosh, who's differentiating between the two, you have to go up with some other kind of a new kind of a theory. What is it that's Mechayev Sudas Yom Tov? You want to call it Simcha, you want to call it Oni, you want to call it maybe Kavod, whatever you think the name of the game is, it's some kind of a pasuk, some kind of a Mechayev to eat these Sudas. But we're working with an assumption. The assumption is that, of course, you have to wash Yom Tov night. Of course you have to wash for lunch in Yom Tov. Who ever heard of such a not to wash in Yom Tov? You know what? Crack. Are you talking about that? So believe it or not all Rishon would do that. There was some Rishon who say, guess what? A question is better than all of our answers. There is no chiyuv to wash for Yom Tov. You should enjoy yourself. Have some boss, have some yayin. That's true. So with Yom Tov. But each day you have to wash. We're like almost working backwards. We're working because we grew up knowing you come up from shul and you have to sit down and you wash and you have challah. So we're assuming that chiv exists. So now we're going back in time to figure out, hey, where'd it come from? Is it covered? Is it under the simple lachem? We're not quite sure where to put it onto. But some Yishuvim say, stop and say, come home from shul and have a good piece of meat and a cup of wine. And church, who says it's a chiv of lachem? So what is the answer to that question? Is there a chiv of lachem on Yom Tov or not? So the reason why there's a little bit of a question about it is that there are two Gemaras that talk about it. One Gemara seems to say very clearly there is, and another Gemara seems to apply that there's not. So let's take a look at those two sugyas. Go back for a moment, back to the ninth of the Marmukamos. Who has the following statement? Anaf mem tesam beizim brachos. Amar bini bar abin amar abam amar nachma b'shmol. Tov lo hiske shu rosh chodesh b'tfila machzir nosay. The person was davening on rosh chodesh and forgot to say yala v'yavo. You have to go back and daven again. At night is a little bit of an exception. That's a different halacha. But by and large, if you forget yala v'yavo and davening on rosh chodesh, you have to repeat. Because amozon ein machzir nosay. But if you forgot yala v'yavo and benching the diavad, you don't have to go back. So Amar Rav Abin l'Rav Amram, Ma'ishka Tfilo, Ma'ishka Mechsem Ozun. What is the difference between davening and benching? Amalei Afli Dikashali. He said, I was bothered with the same question. Ushi'ilta Rav Nachman, I asked Rav Nachman himself. Amalei, and he said to me, Mineid Ma Shmuel, he told me the name of Shmuel. Lo Shmueli, I didn't hear it in the name of Shmuel. Alanechse Anan, he said, I don't have a Masorah why it's true, but I think this is the reason. Let's figure out our own. Tfilo Dechaybi, davening, you have to daven. You have to daven shachar. You have to daven mincha on this day. So therefore, since you have to daven and you left out a part of the davening, machzira. So therefore, you have to repeat. But birchas bezona, when it comes to benching, you didn't have to bench today. For that matter, you didn't even have to eat today. Who told you to eat? Who told you to wash on Rosh Chodesh? The ibay achli by the wachil. You don't have to eat on Rosh Chodesh. The Tosfos is quick to point out, the Gemara doesn't mean you can fast Rosh Chodesh. You're not allowed to fast Rosh Chodesh. What the Gemara means is, you're not mechuyev to eat a meal of Rosh Chodesh. You don't have to wash. Nobody said you have to have the bagel. Nobody said you have to have the challah roll on Rosh Chodesh. You chose to wash on Rosh Chodesh. So you put yourself into a position where you have to bench. And then you forgot to say, Yalav Yavav, Nishkefelech. We'll make believe you didn't wash in the first place. So on when it comes to davening, it was Lay's brain. We had a daven. After davening, say Yalav Yavav. You didn't say, you have to repeat. When it comes to benching, nobody told you you have to bench in the first place. The Gemara says, wait a second, you're telling me that whenever there's an obligation to do something, so when you delete the insertion, that becomes a problem. El me'ata, shabosos v'yamim tovim, notice those two words, yam tovim, shabosos v'yam tovim lo sag lo achil, when it's impossible not to eat, everybody knows you have to eat. Hachinami di'itoy hadar, are you going to tell me that if you forgot what to say on Shabbos, or if you forgot Yalav Yavo and Yom Tov benching, is anyone in the right mind going to tell me you have to repeat the benching? Is that true? I'm going to say, yeah, that's true. That is the halacha, but you have to repeat the benching. So the Gemara is very clear here that there are three different scenarios of forgetting the insertion. Sometimes you repeat, sometimes you don't. When it comes to davening, you have to repeat. When it comes to benching, Shabbos and Yom Tov part ways from Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh, you don't repeat. Shabbos, you don't. If you do repeat, what is the factor present or absent that makes you not repeat? Very, very simple. Chiyuv or not a chiyuv. If you had to get to this point and you didn't do what you had to do, then you have to go back and rectify it. If nobody pushed you into the position in the first place, you chose to eat lunch on Rosh Chodesh with a challah, so that's not going to necessitate repeating the mention. That's decent.
So you said the Sukkos mitzvah, like Bris or something like that, on Rosh Chodesh, you have to repeat.
Yep. No, so the other folks can say that even Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, the person is benching at Shabbos Rosh Chodesh and they forgot to say Yalav Yavo. They don't have to go back to the benching. It's all the Seder would say. Even though they have to eat, but they don't eat out Rosh Chodesh, they have to eat out Shabbos. Purim is a Shaila. Purim is a Shaila. You really have to wash for Sudas Purim. So believe it or not, the Rambam doesn't mention it. The Rambam says the Sudas Purim has to have both of the ayin and Shad Dvarim. You have to have a nice fancy meal. The Rambam never says to wash. So some Achmarim say, of course you have to wash. Another Achmarim say, no, but don't say it. You don't have to do it. So that's a question when you have to repeat the benching around for probably not. So comes this Gemara and signaling out the days where you have to eat, you have to wash, you have to bench, and therefore if you forgot you're in trouble. What were the days on the list? Shabbosos, the Yom Tovim, Yontif, black and white Yontif. So this Gemara seems to be the absolute dead giveaway. Of course you have to wash. What's the Shaila? Versus black and white, you have to wash on Yom Tov if you have to have bread on Yom Tov. Otherwise, you would repeat the benching. But the Gemara in Maseches Sukkah doesn't seem to say this way. The background of the Gemara in Sukkah is the Mishnah in Sukkah. Take a look at the tenth of the Marmukamos. So the Mishnah quotes the famous view of Rabbi Eliezer Belez Omer. Arba esrei sudas chayav adam lecha b'sukkah. Achas b'yom achas b'layla. Rabbi Lez's opinion is that every person is obligated to eat 14 meals in the sukkah. one supper and one lunch. But the two meals next to this Yom Sidus Laila every single day. Why? Where did that come from? So I was going to explain. Rabbi Eliezer thought that was part of Teishuv Yom Taduru. The Torah says that you have to live in your sukkah. Whatever you do in your house, you do in the sukkah. What do I do in my house? I eat every day. Eat every day, every night. So 7 days times it was 14 meals. So you have to have
at least one meal. Huh? You're missing at least one meal.
What?
This Shabbos
list. Oh, you want to know what happened to the 15th meal? What happened to the Siddur Shlishis, according to Rabbi Eliezer? So apparently Rabbi Eliezer held that last meal is not really part of Dira. That's like a Tosefta for Shabbos. But that 15th meal doesn't impact on the sukkah. So in theory, you wouldn't have to do that 15th meal in the sukkah. How would you eat something out of the sukkah? That's a different story. But it's not out the chiv sukkah. The chiv of sukkah is patterned after the zman dira. And dira proper only means bayom v'layla. There is no third meal as part of your regular dira. In the olden days, nobody ate lunch. Okay. So comes Rabbi Eliezer and says, a brand new understanding of the mitzvah sukkah is a mitzvah chayubis. You have to make sure every single day of sukkah to have every day of sukkah to have 14 meals. The Chacham Ma'om, the Chacham say, even to have a kitzvah. The Chacham say, no, there's no amount. You don't have to have those meals. Chutz b'leli yad v'rish shachayim b'vad. The only meal that you absolutely, the least shum suffit must have, say the Chachamim, that's the first night. Chutz starts the first two nights. That the Gemara explains, that's the right for matzah. It's a whole different ball game. But we want to focus for a moment on the fundamental machlekes to Rabbi Eliezer and the Chum. Rabbi Eliezer speaking a language of 14 chiyuvim meals, and the Chum say lohayu dvar mi'olam. So where did that machlekes come from? So the Gemara continues. Let's skip down to the bold print. My time Rabbi Eliezer. Teishuk yein taduru, madira achas b'yom v'achas b'layla, avsuk achas b'yom v'achas b'layla. So says Rabbi Eliezer, sukkah is patterned after your house, a dira. Every normal person has one meal at least during the day, one meal at night. So therefore, in the sukkah, you have to do the same thing. For Rabbanan, how did the Rabbanan respond to Rabbi Eliezer? Kedira. The Rabbanan also say that sukkah has to be like kedira. Man dira iboy ochli by the wachim. The Chachamim understand dira as being a piter. Rabbi Eliezer understood that dira is being mechayev you to eat extra meals. Rabbanan is saying, nah, dira says to me, just as if in my house, if I want to skip dinner one night, no one's going to care. If I skip lunch one day, no big deal. People do that once in a while. They miss a meal. So just as in your house, if you want to eat, you can eat. You don't have to eat in the sukkah. If you choose not to eat, you don't have to eat in the sukkah. If you choose to eat foods that are foods of dira, that's a different story. But according to the Chachamim, if you want to spend your whole week in Chol HaMoed eating potato chips and having apples and having drinks and having things that are out of the sukkah, there's nothing that's forcing you to go to the sukkah to have a sukkah. Rabbi Eliezer says there's a chi of government at Torah of Dira, and the Chachamim say not. So we're going to have to hopefully pick up on Shabbat on Friday. We'll pick up with this view of the Chachamim. How is the Chachamim's formulation of what you do or don't do the rest of the sukkahs? How does this impact on our sukkah in terms of the sukkah? Next show. Tomorrow is early, right? It's 10 minutes early. Right? So it's 10 minutes? That was 10 minutes early. Okay, 10 minutes early tomorrow.